say on the gospel appointed for this same Sunday is Matthew 21, verses 23 through 27. And then in parentheses, if you wanted to keep going, you can include verses 28 through 32. This is the beginning of what I call the opposition narratives in Matthew's gospel. Jesus has come to Jerusalem, and he's about to engage what you might say in a battle of wit and words with the religious authorities that's going to continue from 21-23 to the end of chapter 22, and then it ends with the scathing denunciation of the scribes and the Pharisees in chapter 23 of Matthew. This follows upon Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the public demonstration where he's proclaimed the Son of David, the cleansing of the temple. In Matthew's gospel, this has all taken place the day before. And now this next day, he curses the fig tree. That's back in verses 18 through 22. And now he's come to the temple and the opposition begins. And so this is, in Matthew, set the day after Palm Sunday, the day after the cleansing of the temple. So we begin in verse 23, Chi, linking us to what has happened before, which is the immediate pericope is the cursing of the fig tree. Elphantas autou eis ta heron. We have a nice genitive absolute, predicate, participle phrase. As Matthew often is the case in Matthew, the referent of this participle autou does occur in the main sentence, but Matthew will often use the genitive absolute when it's not really necessary. But the referent of autou would be Jesus, who's the subject of speaking prior. And so after he had come into the temple, Jesus, pros elthon autou, they came to him. And now we have another participle, didaskante. And notice this is a present participle. I make it temporal. So they came to him while he was teaching. So he comes to the temple and he's teaching, which he did the day before. And it's while he's teaching that they come to him. And we get the subject now after that participle. Hoi archi reis kai hoi presbuteroi tu lau legantes. And so after he had come into the temple, while he's teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people come to him saying, and then they're going to ask their question. Now, whatever these guys say, if you've been reading Matthew's gospel, you're going to be suspicious, no matter how holy, pious, and straightforward the question may be. Back in Matthew 16:21, the introduction to this third major section of Matthew, that is basically Jesus going to Jerusalem and facing the Passion, he has already predicted that he is going to suffer from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people. And now we see here represented two of those three groups, the chief priests and the elders of the people. If you look up back in verse 15 up above, those who questioned him the day before when he's in the temple are the chief priests and the scribes. So the chief priests and the scribes, now the chief priests and the elders of the people. We already know that these are they who are going to reject him and oppose him and then try to destroy him. And so he who's been reading Matthew and paying attention should be on guard right now. And so they come to him, and this is they have two questions. First, en poia exousia tauta poies. This en plus a dative, here probably would be a good example of where en expresses the means, by, this would be sort of like by, so by what kind of authority, tauta poies, are you doing these things? Or by what authority do you do these things? And now you have to, what is the referent of tauta, these things, that neuter? Well, all you have to do is reach back. What's he doing right now? He's teaching in the temple. And if this is Jesus teaching in Matthew, then he's teaching as one who has authority, as one who assumes he's got authority, and not as the scribes. Okay, there's a problem. You reach back further. He's cleansed the temple, and he set up shop in the temple temporarily. He's been healing blind people and others. And he's the whole Palm Sunday demonstration. And so these things can reach back to sort of everything Jesus has done since he's come to Jerusalem. And you might think this is a very straightforward question. You know, by what authority are you doing these things? And then the next sentence, Kai tis soi edukim tain exousion tautain. And who gave to you this authority? And now, again, this would seem like a very straightforward question. However, the people asking the question should put us on alert. This is how the religious rulers all through Matthew are portrayed, as they seem to be very straightforward, they seem to be holy and pious, but in fact they are hypocritical and they're evil. And in the end we find that they're not on God's side, mainly because they crucified Jesus, right? They opposed Jesus and tried to destroy him. That's sort of the dead giveaway. Also, see, if you've been reading Matthew's Gospel, this is a duh question, right? By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave to you this authority? And if you've been reading the Gospel, well, you were there at the baptism account when God himself proclaims from heaven, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I'm well pleased." And if that's not enough, we've had the Transfiguration where God says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." The Spirit comes upon Jesus at his baptism. So we know that his authority is from heaven, and it is God who gave him this authority. Right? So if you've been paying attention, if you're on God's side, you know that Jesus is God's man. And therefore, strangely enough, because these guys don't get it, they don't believe in God. This is the evidence that they don't believe in God. And so, straightforward question, the kind of a duh question, if you've been paying attention. And so, is Jesus going to give them a straightforward answer? And, of course, Jesus doesn't. That's where we go on. So, verse 24, Apokrithes de haiezon, apen tautis. And so, in answering, Jesus said to them, quote, Eroteso humas kago lagon henna. And notice the future. This is from erotao. And I will ask, and notice we have a double accusative with this verb. Now, this is what Wallace identifies as a double accusative, where you've got a person who's the direct object, and then a thing. And so I will ask you, humas, I will ask you, kago also, lagon henna, one word. And usually one word is translated a question, but lagon, this is one word, but it could be a saying, a question. And so Jesus responds with a challenge and a question of his own. And notice he said, I will also ask you one question, and then relative clause, han aeon apete moi kago humen ero en poia exousia tauta poio. So Jesus is playing fair. He said, I will also ask you one word, which, and now we get aeon plus the subjunctive, followed by a future indicative, and so this would be an example of a future more vivid conditional clause. Veltz chapter 39, I guess, I forget, 39 I think, which, if you tell me, kago, I also to you, I will say to you, by what authority I am doing these things. And so notice Jesus is playing fair. It's not like he says, no, I'm not going to answer you, but he says, okay, I'll play your game, I'm going to ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer to this question, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. And in a sense, notice, whenever you have a debate, battle of war, of wit and words, often the person who asks the question puts himself in a sort of a position of authority, and they can sort of almost direct where the debate's going to go simply by asking the question. And that's what these guys have done. In other words, they come to him as if they've got the authority to demand, you need to give us an answer. And Jesus is sort of not recognizing their authority, but he's almost... You know, he's got the authority, we know, but he's almost putting himself on an even playing field by saying, okay, I'll play your game. I'll answer your question if you answer my question. And now his question comes in verse 25. Ta baptisma ta Ioannou, the baptism of John, quote the name. Where is it from? Where was the baptism of John from? And then he gives them the two options, ex uranou, a ex anthropon. From heaven or from men? Okay, straightforward question, right? You know, they've got one of two answers. And now, strangely, this is kind of typical Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. He does things in an unexpected way, but what he does in an unexpected way is the right thing. And so you can stop and think, how you answer Jesus' question is how you'd answer the question of the chief priests and the elders. If you say that John's baptism is from heaven, then you know that Jesus' authority is from heaven, and God gave him the authority. But if you say John's baptism is from men, then neither are you going to recognize Jesus' authority, because John is the one who prepared Jesus' way. Jesus was baptized by John. The Spirit came at that baptism, so their ministries are connected. And so how you answer Jesus' question is how you answer their question. And then that becomes a key issue, then, is how do we answer Jesus' question? But we see what they do. Hoi de, signifying change of subject. Dia logitzon ta, en ha autois legantes, and notice the imperfect from dia logizo, they began to debate, began to dialogue among themselves. I take the end here as among, same. Aeon apomen, quote, ex u ranu, ere hemen, quote, diati un ug etistu sata auto. And so this is their dilemma. Notice this is another future more vivid, aeon plus the subjunctive followed by a future. So if we say, quote, from heaven, he will say, then he will say to us, quote, then why did you not believe him? You know? So they know that if they lie and give the politically correct answer that Jesus is expecting, he's gonna nail him for it. Now notice that here they're answering the question they asked. They don't recognize John's baptism. Therefore, they don't recognize Jesus either, right? But they know that if they give this answer, it's going to be problematic because then he's going to accuse them. Why didn't you believe in him? Verse 26, this is the other side of the dilemma. Eon de apomen ex anthropon phobumethetan aklon pontus gar hos prophetain exosionton ioane. Okay, so, and if we say, quote, from men, therefore not from heaven, not from God, well, this is where they stand. However, they don't want to say this either. You know, if we say that, well, it's kind of like, well, we're afraid of the crowd. For everyone has John as a prophet. And so they find themselves in a dilemma where they can't answer Jesus' question. And it's kind of funny, like, this has been put to film, but Jesus is always looking hyper-pious, you know, Robert Powell and Jesus of Nazareth stand in the background. I mean, I almost want to see Jesus sort of smiling on the side because he knows their dilemma. And they're over here like, you know, ooh, you know, how do we answer this question? And, you know, and if they, and now their opinion very clearly seems to be ex anthropom. This is what they think. This is what they think. But they're afraid of the crowd because the crowd, for everyone has John as a prophet. They have John as a prophet. And so verse 27, Kai apo krithentes to Iesu apon, and answering to Jesus, they said, "Uk oidamen." Notice oidamen is perfect, but has the present idea, and so this is a verb that laid aside its perfect meaning just to make present and imperfect. So "uk oidamen," we do not know. Fa, aorist from phemi, autos, kai autos. And notice the emphasis, kai autos. We have that third-person personal pronoun. And so this is kind of like, and he himself said to them, and what he says is emphatic too, uda ego lego. Notice we don't need the ego, so this is emphatic. Ude ego lego humen, and poia exousia tauta poia. And so he says to them, and neither will I myself say to you by what authority I do these things. Okay, there's the text outside of the parentheses, and if you were to choose to focus upon this, notice that in our job as preachers, we don't have to answer ambiguously as Jesus does, because we're not speaking to the chief priests and the elders of the people, we're speaking to our people, so we can make very clear what Jesus says in secret, we can speak out in the open, what he whispers in our ear, we can proclaim from the rooftop that yes, his authority is from God, it's from heaven, God is the one who gave him this authority. What Jesus is doing and everything that he's done is of God. Now, why do these guys not believe that? Because in this narrative, they are not of God. And we see this. We're going to see this play out in the opposition narratives. They're going to try to trick Jesus, question him, trap him, test him. And every attempt, he's going to slap down. And the whole theme here, I think, and Jeff Gibbs, he hasn't written his commentary, but we were talking, he told me this is the theme. Jesus is going to keep bringing them back to the point that you guys have not repented. Even the question about the denarius, should we pay taxes to Caesar's? The clincher there is not render under Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but really render under God the things that are God's. And if you guys are rendering under God the things that are God's, you would have repented when John came, and you would believe in me, and you don't because you're not on God's side. Right? You guys are in the seat of Moses, but ironically, none of you actually believe in God, because if you did, you would have repented when John came, and you would believe in Jesus. So they're going to oppose Jesus and destroy him. And then their fate is sealed in chapter 28. When they find out about the resurrection, the sign of Jonah that Jesus gave them is fulfilled, and even then they don't repent, right? And so we don't want to be on their side, right? We want to take Jesus' side in this. And so we can answer the question for our people. His authority came from God, and so what does that mean for us? You know, and you know what one of the implications in Matthew is repent, believe, and now follow him. And this is Jesus who came to save his people from their sins. If you are his people, then he saves you, and living in his reign is the blessed place to be. Okay, let's go on to verse 28. Do we have time? Okay. Do we have time?
We have time.
Okay. Well, I think I'll cut it off here. This is the text that's assigned, so thank you. I got to go back to class.